Appreciate the good singing. I'm glad that's a real city and a real place. And there'll be a day, and I say this a lot, I know, but our faith will end inside. That blesses me just to think about that. All that we read about and sing about, there'll come a day. If I go the way of natural death, the Bible teaches that angels will carry me to that city. The one that I preached about all these years will be there, right before us. Hallelujah to God this morning. I'm glad I'm one of His. I'm glad of what I can feel. I do desire your prayers. I had a little trouble with blood pressure. It'll get too low and it'll get too high. And I'll take something and it'll get too low and my heart rate gets really too low. So I'm going to try to be brief, depending, because I don't really feel all that well. But there's been something on my heart. It was suggested that we do this on a Wednesday night or a series, and we still may. But this has been on my heart, and quite frankly, I'm afraid I'll make a mess of it, but it won't be the first nor the last time, I'm sure. But two places I want you to turn, Matthew chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 5. A few weeks ago, Brother Chuck preached, and a lot of his message had to do with our children. And then a few weeks ago, Brother Terrence preached about our culture, and he said a lot about finding a wife and that sort of thing. And so I've been thinking about those and different things, but I want to try to preach to you a little bit about marriage. And I don't know how it'll be, don't know how to preach this, but we're going to do our best. And again, you pray for us, not feeling all that well, but we'll put forth our effort. Matthew chapter 1, you might say, what's this got to do with marriage? Well, Matthew 1 and 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And Paul says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So again, just thinking about what our brothers have preached the last month or so, and the request for the Wednesday night study, I thought about this and coming up on Christmas, and I know we talk about Mary a great deal, and we should, and because the Bible even declares that all generations shall call her blessed. I'm glad at the birth. At that time, there was still a remnant looking for the coming of the promised one. That they were still faithful Jews that depended upon that promise, and they were law-abiding, meat abstaining. Going to the synagogue on the Sabbath, expecting God to do miracles, and so we should, out of all the women that had ever been born, He did choose Mary to bring forth the God-Man. She's not the mother of God, but she is the mother of the God-man. And we look at her a lot of times, and we should. But Joseph, to me, is one that sort of stands out. Not a lot's known of him. We know that he was alive when the Lord Jesus was 12 years old. Because that account that was given, it seems that he probably died shortly after that. It doesn't really say, but not a lot's known of Joseph much after that. But anyway, he was a man that he could have had Mary put to death. I mean, if you take Luke's account of what happened, that when Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and found with child, I believe that at that moment she left to go be with her cousin, with Elizabeth. The Bible says that, and stayed there 3 months. And so when she came back, she was probably showing a little in her belly and showing that she was pregnant. Joseph, you got to understand that back in that culture, it's so important that you realize that culture. They hadn't married, but they were a spouse. They were legally binded together from the moment, and I'm going to try to get into that in a little while. The angel refers to Mary as already being thy wife. Be not afraid to take Mary, thy wife, by all rights according to the law of Moses. Mary could have been stoned. She could have been executed. But Joseph, being a just man, the Bible says he was just going to put her away privately and not put her through the scorn and the shame. And I thought about different things. Why do you suppose? And I know the angel then appeared to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take Mary, that she's not been with another man, but that thing that she's going to conceive, that is going to be the Son of God. And that thing that is in you, he told Mary, shall be a holy thing. But before the angel told that to Joseph, he didn't want to put her through death. He didn't want to put her through the scorn and the shame. But why did he do that? Because he loved his bride-to-be. Because he loved Mary. And I've thought about that. And we're living in a culture, to go back to what Terrence was talking about the other day. It's a culture that I'm afraid really doesn't understand what marriage is and what it's supposed to represent and what it's really all to be about. And I know that the Bible says in the latter days that men were refrained from even marrying, and so it is today. We know that people live together and living in sin and such, and I realize that we've lost as a culture even what it is, the difference between a male and a female. And I understand the culture that we're raising children in today, that they say there is no difference. Let me just park there for just a minute. You can get mad at me for saying this, and some of you very well might, but I, in my opinion, the
feminist movement in this country has done more harm unto the woman and unto the family and unto the marriage and unto the household than just about anything that you could think of today. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, that these women are taught that we don't need it. You might not need a man in that sense, but let me point you. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about way back in the beginning when God said unto Eve, "Your desire shall be to your husband." That's what I'm talking about. But we're living in a culture where women are, and don't get, listen, please don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying to you today, a woman is equal with a man in the sight of God, but the desire of the woman, according to the way that the family is set up, why do you think there's so many families that are struggling today? Why do you think there's marriages today? People have been married for 40 years and they're divorcing because somewhere along the line, we've lost sight of what marriage really is. Somewhere along in my lifetime, I will say that marriage is all about the children. Let me say that's a vast, huge mistake today in order to think that. Preacher, what do you mean? I know you love your little boy and I know you love your little girl, but you're not one flesh with them. You are one flesh with your husband and your wife. You ought to love them. I mean, it ought to be a bond. You say, "Preacher, there can be no bond that's greater than a bond between a mother and her son or a mother and her daughter." I'll say unto you, there is a bond that's stronger than that. It's the bond of a husband and a wife, for they too shall become one flesh. You're not one flesh with your children, for there's going to come a day your son and your daughter are going to grow up and you're going to have to let them go. You're going to have to let them go their own way. I thought about in the beginning when Adam was there and he was naming every creature of the field, but he didn't take him long to realize there was nobody like him. He was all alone as far as that's concerned. And God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a help meet for him." And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And the Bible said, "A sleep fell upon Adam." You just keep that in mind. It wasn't a natural sleep. That's pointing towards something. It was a spiritual sleep. It was an unnatural sleep. And he took and he opened up Adam's side. You keep that in mind. And he drew out a rib and he formed a woman. And then the Bible says he brought the woman unto the man. You mark that down. He brought the woman unto the man, but it was not against her will. She had a desire for the man. Now, at that time, sin hadn't entered into the world, so the desire to her husband wasn't like it is now. But she didn't come without being drawn, and she didn't come without being brought by God. I'm thankful. How did me and my wife get together? We met her, believe it or not, at a basketball game. And she was sitting in front of me. And my bony knees was hitting her right square in the back. And she kept turning around giving me one of them what for looks. You'll never convince me that wasn't God bringing her unto me. I'm telling you, that's a great big gem. She could have been sitting anywhere. I could have been sitting anywhere. But just so happened, I wasn't looking for a wife. To be honest, I was looking for a prom date. But it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. You see that God, having foreknowledge of all things, you might not understand what I'm telling you. You might say, "Preacher, I love my son and my daughter more than anything else." I'll say that's not biblical to be like. And don't get me wrong, you'll do anything for them, and you should. But there are so many marriages that they cease being about one another as soon as a child is born. Let me give you a warning to mamas and daddies. I know it's your desire to protect your children, but you listen to me. When they get married, their desire is for their spouse. they're still obligated to listen to you and to obey you and honor you and reverence you. And I know you took care of your boy from the time that he grew up, from the time that he was born and he was sick. You'd want to cook for him. You'd want to do everything you could for him. And that's what being a good mother is all about. But you listen to me. I'm trying to keep somebody from having heartache when that little boy is now a man. And that little boy is now married. You don't be doing that's the job of his wife. Yeah, I'm trying to help you today. Not that you don't stop caring for him, but you need to back off and let her do what a wife should do. I'm trying to help you today. You see, we've got all mixed up. You're not one with your child. They are your lineage and they are your blood. But God has joined that man unto a woman. And we're trying to get together for Christmas now. And it's hard every year. COVID year makes it even harder. But you try. See, when kids grow up and get married, they've got families and they've got in-laws and they've got this. And I know it's hard on mamas and daddies trying to get everybody. But you listen to me. You listen to me well. It's not because your children don't love you. But you've got to understand that their life is wrapped up in somebody else now. It's not that they don't want to be with you and spend time with you and spend Christmas with you. It's that they have an obligation that God has made them one flesh with their wives. And I know it's your desire, daddies, to protect your little girl. You've always done it. But there's coming a day when you give her away at a wedding. Who gives this woman to be married to this man? There comes a day you've got to relinquish that and let the man do the protecting from now. I'm telling you, we've lost sight of what it is. So now it says, wives, submit yourselves unto thy husband. And that's where we get a lot of frowns today. I would say to you, submit yourselves, it said, in everything. And that at the head of every woman, this don't sit well with the culture today. But the Bible says that the head of every woman is the man. That's not my words. That's the words of God. Amen. But at the head of every man is Christ. That's right. That's the way that it works. That the desire of the wife should be toward the husband. And I know in our culture, the feminist society, you preachers get in trouble right quick. Probably in a lot of our own churches for preaching what I'm preaching right now. But that's not me. The desire of the wife. The Bible declares, you know what our problem is? We've come to the place where we'll say, well, she's just a housewife. You listen to me. Listen to me well. The Bible says that the wife is the weaker vessel. Paul said that a wife, he said the aged women have to teach the young ladies how to love their husbands. Boy, we need a lot more of that. Amen. That's what he told Titus and Timothy. You teach them how to love their husbands. And a lot of kids are growing up today with the loveless people getting married for the wrong things and the wrong reasons. Not because God brought the woman to the man, but a man just went out and took what he wanted. And that's where we get in trouble. You listen to me. I don't know how this is going, but wives, it says submit yourselves. In other words, the desire of your husband, even unspoken. I can remember a culture when I was growing up. The older women, they would get up, you read, as Terence read in Proverbs 31, about a virtuous woman, how she got up in the middle of the night and began to get the meals ready. You might say, preacher, that's an olden time. It might be. I was talking to Mike in the office the other day, talking about growing up poor, but you had a family. Those women, you know what they did? They got up early in the morning. They had breakfast on the table, and their husbands would get up. Why? Because it was the joy of the woman. In order to do that for the man, yes, sir. We've lost that today. I'm not saying I expect every wife to get up and cook breakfast, but I'm saying we're living in a day where they'll say, if you're hungry, you can get a Pop-Tart and be on your way. I'm telling you, we've lost sight of what that's all about. The desire of the woman shall be toward the man. In other words, it doesn't even have to be spoken. What do you mean? I mean, ladies, you are to know your man. will enough to do what he pleases, and to please him in every way. Preacher, you've been awful hard. But you see, it doesn't stop there. It says, husbands, you ought to love your wives. In other words, if she's submitting herself to you, you should never require or ask her to do anything that she wouldn't want to do. And see, that's the way that it works. Not to be a lord over her, but to love her, to suffer for her. It said, as Christ gave himself for the church. So men, we're living in a culture today where men don't raise their own children. Children are growing up without daddies. It's a shame of the men today that do not love their wives. Do you know what the greatest thing you can do as a man is to love your child's mother? You know what the greatest thing you can do as a mother is to love your child's father. To reverence him, to obey him, to respect him. Peter talks about wives having a meek and a quiet spirit, one that the husband wouldn't have to be embarrassed about, one that he wouldn't have to worry about. He could just put his trust in and love her. Men say, preacher, how do I get my wife to obey me? Maybe you ought to try loving her. That'll work. What do you mean by that? I mean, Paul said this is all about Christ and his church. Keep that in mind. When Adam was fallen into a deep sleep, it pictured Jesus Christ on the cross. It pictured an unnatural sleep. It pictured a suffering. It pictured his side being pierced with that spear and blood and water flowing out. You see, Eve came out of Adam and the church came out of Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what marriage really is about. And so when God brought her to the man, what does the Lord Jesus say in John chapter number 17? He said, God, Father, Lord, all of these, they were yours, and you gave them to me. That's how it works. That God gives the bride unto the bridegroom. That God gives the church. The church proceedeth forth out of the side of Jesus Christ, just like Eve came out of the side of Adam. And so when God brought her to the man, it was not against her will. She loved Adam. The bride loves the bridegroom. Preacher, how do I mean, you treat your wife with respect. You love her. You suffer for her. It wouldn't hurt you to go out in the rain and open her car door. I told somebody the other day, I said, we've been in our house 3 years. I don't know how much more stuff Michelle can find to nail up on the wall, but it looks like after a while she'd be satisfied. And I said that tongue in cheek. But sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? Sometimes that's the way it is. Men, you need to understand what she's trying to do is make your house a home. That's what we need to understand. Women, you need to understand that sometimes maybe enough is enough. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, you understand that's the way it's supposed to work. That a husband, if anybody's going to hurt and suffer wrong, you ought to be willing, man, you ought to be willing to be that one that'll suffer wrong. I see so many widows. I've talked to some in this church, and they'll say, preacher, I miss my husband. I know you do. Why? Because literally when they died, part of you died because you're one body, that you're no more twain, that you became one flesh. That's what Adam said, that Eve, now out of all the things that he had seen and named, he said, now finally I've got somebody that's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and leave. That's what I'm trying to get at. I love my mom and I love my dad. But as much as I love them, I'm obligated and commanded to love my bride above every other thing on the face of this earth, save Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You might say, preacher, I love my children more than anything. I'll say it again one more time. I know you love your child and you do anything for them, but the one you're supposed to love above all else is your spouse.
Yep.
Preacher, that's a bold statement. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. That they are one flesh, no more twain. How do I get my wife? But see, that meek and quiet spirit, that obedient spirit, if you're really treating her right, if you're really doing what you should, she won't go out and spend money frivolously. Why? Because her desire is to please you. That's the way God set it up. And so it all works together. Our culture is really mixed up on the family. And it's been under attack. I realize families are under attack like at no time in my life. Satan has come after the home and the family with everything that he's got. You destroy the family, you destroy the world. And so that's what he's doing. But you really want to understand how this is all set up. You have to understand the culture of the Jew in that day. You have to understand that in that day, the bridegroom and the parents. I think about sometimes Jacob and Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel. It really was love at first sight. From the first time that he saw her, he ran and he kissed her. Genesis 29. And he fell upon her neck. And he stayed there for about a month with her and her family. And her dad said, it's not right for you to do this work for me and get nothing in return. He said, what arrangement can we work out? And Jacob said, Rachel. He said, I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel. And the Bible said he did. And those 7 years seemed to be but just a few days. That's how a marriage is. We had a discussion years ago, me and Michelle, that if one of us had to die, who would you rather it be? And I said, I think I'd rather it be you. And people looked at me kind of funny. But you see, I know she'd just go on to her reward. I couldn't bear the thought of her being the one heartbroken and alone. That's my bride. And that's why when I thought I was dying, I prayed that God just take care of her. I don't want her to be alone. But you must understand the culture. In those days, the bridegroom would work it out with the father about a payment that was going to be made. And they would work out a payment that was going to be made, and then would be the betrothal. And after the betrothal, the bridegroom would go away. And during that time, the bride would purify herself and begin to think about the bridegroom and how she loved him and how she could serve him, and her desire was toward him already. And the bridegroom, after an appointed time, the bride had no idea when he would come back. But while he was away, he would prepare a place for her, the bride. And when he prepared the place, he would come back with the friend of the bridegroom, with a host of witnesses. And because she didn't know when to expect him, my voice is going, I'll try to be quick. Because she didn't know when to expect him, the bridegroom would come and a shout would be made. And the bride would come out. Now you think about Matthew 25, that at midnight a great cry was made that the bridegroom cometh, and then the bride came out to meet him. You think about John 14, when he says, I must go away and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come again and take you into myself. that where I am, there you may be also. And then you think about the bridegroom. You think about that he comes. You think about the friend of the bridegroom that's going to come back with him and take the bride. You think about the bride while he's gone is making herself ready. Thinking about how we can better serve him. Thinking about our desire is toward him. I think sometimes about our Savior. He's never got upset or ill with me in any way. Men, you ought not to treat and talk to your wives in a manner unbefitting to a husband. My doubts and my fears, and God has never one time done anything. And when I was doubting years ago, He'd always, Lord, if I've been saved over and over and over, I'd ask, He'd always gently take me back to that time and place. He don't get upset. So men, you ought to treat your wives. You ought to treat them good, talk to them good. But you think about He's went away to prepare a place. The bride is making herself ready. There's going to come a day He's going to descend with a shout, and we're going out of here and to the place that He's been preparing for us.
Amen.
Wives, submit yourselves in every way. Preacher, I can't do that. I can't do that. If you can't do that, it might not all be your fault. Maybe it's the husband's fault. You see, the way that the bridegroom does, the way that it's supposed to work, is the man is supposed to woo and draw the woman with cords of love. That means that he loves her as himself. He loves her in such a way that the woman's desire will be to the man, and everything she does will be done in a manner, is it going to please my husband or not? Wives, if you're not living your life in that manner, Paul said, keepers at home, teaching the younger women. Preacher, you don't have any kids. You ain't got no say-so. I don't have any kids, but I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible. And that's what it says. Keepers at home and how to teach. Fathers, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't throw it all off on the woman. It has to work together. A man is willing to suffer to please the woman. And in turn, because of the love that he has to her, the woman will live her life to please the man. And they too are one flesh. Not you and your children. Love your children, but love your spouse. You are one flesh. Your children are going to leave one day. For this cause shall they leave father and mother. And then a lot of homes are unhappy. They stay together and they get the children raised, and then they just fall out of love and they divorce because their whole life has been wrapped up in nothing but their children. You see the error in that. A marriage isn't based on the children, it's based on the marriage of a man and a woman. And the happiness of the children will reflect the happiness of the parents. You understand that. This won't be well received in a lot of places, but that's the Word of God. Lots more that we could say, but I'll stop. Maybe we'll pick it up at another time. God bless you. Appreciate your prayers.